This is Garden Talk, and we're here to tell you about a new book. Now, this book is fun to share around, but it's not a field guide for the ground. And if you forage, please, oh please, first learn from those with expertise. And if you're unsure which shroom you picked, need some help, or now feel sick, call a poison center to get help quick. Now let's discover some great things to know to stay safe and avoid mushroom woe. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller, and the person who is responsible for those lovely rhyming verses is Ryan Feldman. He's a toxicologist with the Wisconsin Poison Center, an emergency medicine pharmacist at Frederick Hospital, and an assistant professor of pharmacy and emergency medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He's also the host of the podcast, The Poison Lab. How do you avoid dangerous fungi? Well, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email. That's talk@wpr.org. Ryan, thanks so much for being with us again.
Thank you so much for having me, Jill. I'm excited to be here.
I absolutely loved your book, and I'm reading it, and I had to read it out loud. I think my dog thinks I'm crazy, but there you go. So
I've never heard anyone read the verse to me, and it really sounded great. So thank you.
It does. I kept wanting to read it. I read it, like I said, I read it out loud just because it was so much fun. So the book is called Poisonous Fungus Among Us. What was your inspiration?
So I always say I'm a poisoner dabbling in the mushroom world. So my job is treating poisonings. And mushroom poisoning is something that comes up every once in a while.
I'll bet.
And so for about the last decade, I've been teaching mushroom poisoning to healthcare workers. So physicians, nurses, pharmacists, teaching them how to kind of assess and triage mushroom poisoning because it's something I deal with somewhat regularly.
Sure.
And it was always tough to – there's a whole language about mushrooms you have to understand to even begin to identify them. So I wanted to create something that would bring people up to speed and not put them to sleep. And I made a lecture, and I kind of just made the slides rhyme, and I realized, oh, this could actually be a great book. I have a three-year-old at home. I've read him Hop on Pop about 400 times, and I said, well, if he can read Hop on Pop, if I can make this rhyme, he would love it. And he does. He always wants to read the mushroom books.
So absolutely.
That's kind of where it came from.
Yeah. And it's not like it's a short book either. So, I mean, you do a good job of keeping attention to what you're doing. So we're talking 90 pages.
Yes, it is 90 pages. It's about a 7-minute read. I have timed it, and it is shorter than reading Hop on Pop to my child.
So. Is it really?
Yeah, believe me, I keep this in mind as a three-year-old and one-year-old at home. I think about the time, the bedtime story time that's going to take.
Yes, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it is fun, and it is for kids, but I learned tons of stuff that I did not know. So, you know, you're going to learn something too. So I think it would be a fun gift to give to someone who maybe likes to forage or who's thinking about it.
Absolutely. So it is for kids, but it actually came from a lecture I give to doctors and nurses. That's where it started from. And all of my friends and family who got a copy of the book and they read it to their children, they always text me like, I just learned so much. So there is good information in there if you want to learn about mushroom anatomy, ecology, and like the basics of identification. But it's also just a fun rhyming book. So I always say, you know, if you've got a little listener, it's good for them. And if you have a curious forager, it's good for them too.
There you go. And quoting, quite often field guides are thick to avoid the ones that make you sick. But even with field guides quite credible, we can still get sick from some that are edible.
That's right. There's many ways you can run into trouble when it comes to mushroom foraging. So you got to be careful.
You have to be extremely careful. I think it more than helping you identify is just warning you, hey, don't even try it unless you have an expert, right?
Right, right. So the book is not a field guide. It is not to say, oh, this is one that's safe and this is one that's not. It's really just to let people know that there are dangerous mushrooms out there. I've unfortunately had to take care of some people who have passed away from mushroom poisoning.
Yeah.
And some people don't know that, you know, not everything is safe. So it teaches some healthy curiosity about how to forage safely. And just some common ways, there's some poisonous lookalikes in there. So there's a few tips and tidbits here and there. And some other things like some edible mushrooms that can be dangerous if they're not cooked. So there are a couple of tips, but not a field guide, just an introduction.
Just an introduction. Yeah. Now, how often do you, I mean, you said it earlier that you see people who come in who've eaten a bad mushroom, but how often are they children?
Yeah, so actually a lot of our mushroom calls are children. Fortunately, those are the ones that tend to do very well because it's usually, everyone says, well, I don't forage. Well, your toddler does forage in the yard,
sure.
I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
So I get about May through October, pretty much every other day, there's a call that comes into the Poison Center about someone who ate a foraged mushroom and is maybe having some symptoms or not feeling or is concerned. And a lot of those are actually kids who went out into the yard, found a cute looking mushroom and took a bite out of it. Or mom and dad find them with just the stem in their hand and some stuff smattered around their mouth.
Oh my
Luckily,
gosh.
Yeah, the dose makes the poison. So some of those mushrooms, you know, there's over 150,000 known mushrooms. There's only about 200 that we know to be poisonous. So less than 0.01% are poisonous. But there's plenty of them here in Wisconsin.
Sure.
And unfortunately, we've had some serious, and throughout the entire United States. So you have to learn that there should be some caution.
Yeah. Well, this is a perfect tool. Yeah. This is a perfect tool for that. And you can probably, you know, blame Alice in Wonderland for kids nibbling on mushrooms. You know, I'm just saying. So half of this book includes illustrations of mushrooms and their various parts. Now, why was that important for you to for you to write about and for people to understand?
Yeah. So what's funny is when I'm teaching doctors and nurses about mushroom poisoning, you know, there is no part of a medical curriculum other than now the courses I teach where they learn about the different parts of a mushroom. So if I get a call about a mushroom poisoning, I need to be able to say, well, does it have a bulb? Does it have a veil? Does it have warts? What are the gill attachments like? And they're like, what? I've never heard of any of these things. So it was an important part of the medical lecture to get the people who would be caring for a patient to know what they should look for if they want to help get a positive identification that'll help us treat the patient. So I thought it was really, you know, you could put up a chart of all the different poisonous mushrooms and that's great. But unless you know what they look like, unless you know how to identify certain features, you're missing a really big part of the whole continuum of care. And we often work with expert mycologists through places like some of the UW school systems or the Wisconsin Mycological and North American Mycological Associations. And, you know, they need specific information to be able to identify things. So this is a way to get people coached up on what you should actually look for to make sure you're not running into it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was shocked at all the different parts. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. I've seen that. But it just, you know, it doesn't. And there are things like morels, which is interesting because I did kind of know this, but if you can't eat them raw, because you will get sick. And then there's a lookalike, right? So
yeah, there's the false morel, which, you know, and that's been such an interesting thing. In 2024, there was kind of a big outbreak. Actually, 2023, there was a big outbreak of morel poisoning in Montana. And it really lit up the scientific community to do a little bit more research. A lot of times, if you got sick after eating a morel, everyone says, well, it must have been a false morel.
Uh-huh.
But no, it turns out morels themselves can cause some pretty serious toxicity if they're not cooked. I think the example in the book, take, for example, the yummy morel. It's actually poisonous if you don't cook it well. And so you can run into trouble a few different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice highlight of things to watch out for and things to think about if you're interested in forage.
Now let's talk about spores, because that was the most interesting. That's like, okay, this is art here. So first of all, what are spores and what do they do?
Yeah, so spores are the reproductive cells of any mushroom. So you see a mushroom, everyone thinks, you know, this is like a plant, but really the mushroom is the fruiting body. It's a fruit. The real story begins underground where the mycelial network is. And when a mycelial network has hit the right conditions and it wants to grow, it pops up a mushroom, which is kind of the reproductive organ of a mycelial network. It's the fruit. And that mushroom will have a couple of different surfaces on it. It might have gills or it might have ridges or teeth, but they all tend to release spores. And the spores go out, find a new plot, as I say, they germinate, grow, propagate a lot. And then
you have read this a lot, haven't you?
I really have. But what's great about spores is they often have a distinct color. And each mushroom species will have a distinct spore color for that mushroom. And it's one of the tools we use to identify a mushroom. You do a spore print, which is really easy to do. You cut off the cap, place it gill down undercover, wait several hours, and you will discover all the different colors that a mushroom spore can be. And there's really a lot. It's very pretty.
Yeah, you have pictures in your book, and they're beautiful. And they're if you remember the old spirograph set that you could get as a kid, it kind of has that similar look to it. But we're talking about pink to purple to blue all over the place.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. In fact, if you're looking for an activity for your kid this summer, I know this the weather today probably doesn't inspire mushroom foraging, but I promise it's a fun activity. And if you're looking for something to do, doing some spore prints of mushrooms, very simple, and it's a really fun activity to do with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to doing it this summer with mine.
Great idea. Dennis emailed us and to ask, do edible mushrooms crossbreed or cross-pollinate with poisonous mushrooms? And obviously, is that going to cause a problem if they do?
That's a really interesting question. We've kind of thought about it. There's a number of mushrooms where we've always thought they were edible, and then suddenly they become poisonous. And I will use the example of the yellow night. It's called Tricholoma equestre. It's often found in France, but it's a mushroom you can find on some sandy beaches. People used to eat it, and then suddenly a bunch of people got really sick from it. Some people actually died back in the 2000s.
Wow.
Then there was this question, well, was it the mushroom, or did the mushroom somehow develop or produce a new toxin related to the conditions it's growing in now, changes in global climate, things like that? And we don't know. We really don't. There's a lot we don't know. I don't know of any poisonous and non-poisonous mushrooms creating a new species out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is this question of, we do often run into edible mushrooms that suddenly cause some new toxicities. And the whole scientific community is trying, the morel is an example where we're really highlighting it might have some new poisons we weren't aware of. And we're all kind of scrambling to figure that out together, which is great. We're all starting to turn the scientific light on this question.
So. Yeah, they've definitely gotten a lot of press mushrooms in the last couple of years. So,
yeah.
Our guest today is Ryan Feldman. He's a toxicologist with the Wisconsin Poison Center, an emergency medical pharmacist at Froedtert Hospital, and an assistant professor of pharmacy and emergency medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He has a new children's book out. It's called Poisonous Fungus Among Us. And he also has a card game, and it's called Gotta Pick 'em, and we'll talk about that in just a bit. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Larry's going to be back on Monday, and he's going to have a review of this year's Packers season. He's going to talk about expanded use of Lambeau Field. It's not just for the Packers. And then the weather guys are back, and so we can talk to them about what the heck's going on with this cold. That's Monday on the Larry Mueller Show. I hope you can join starting at 11. Right now, we are talking about mushrooms. And Kenneth called, but couldn't stay with us, and he's wondering if you could talk about the nutrition you get from mushrooms. He says there are many benefits of mushrooms and to not be afraid of them. The poisonous ones usually taste bad. Is that true?
Well, I will say the poisonous ones tasting bad is not true.
There's nothing
you can use to differentiate. There are some poisonous ones that have a nasty taste, but there are plenty that don't. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of scary part. There is actually no poisonous looking or tasting mushroom. They come in all shapes and sizes. You have little brown ones, big white fluffy ones, destroying angels. Those are all over Wisconsin. We have the funeral bell, which is a little brown one here in Wisconsin.
Great names.
There's right? I know. But they come in all shapes and sizes. So that's why it's important to be aware of the different ones, because there's not just one thing you can use to rule out a poisonous mushroom. They are nutritious. I eat Agaricus bisporus, which is the white button mushroom. I eat that every single day. It's one of my favorite things. I buy it from the grocery store, however, because I like to make sure that I'm doing okay. But lion's mane, enoki, there's tons of yummy mushrooms out there, and most aren't poisonous, but you know, so there are great nutritional benefits. But foraging, if you're grabbing one yourself, you really got to be careful, because if you don't know for sure, yeah, maybe it is one of the poisonous ones.
For sure. Well, we've only got a, you know, 10 minutes left, and I want to talk about this game here. It's called Gotta Pick 'Em. Where did you get the idea for that? Did that come first or after the book?
Well, so the game actually led to the book. Gotta Pick 'Em is a mnemonic that I teach medical learners to actually help you remember all of the poisonous mushrooms.
All right, so tell us.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go through the mnemonic itself, because it's about 15 different poisons. But people can go to gottapickem.com, and actually the whole mnemonic is there. Okay. And you can find, if you click on Learn the Name, it's a one-liner about each of the poisonous mushrooms and how they work. And you can click Learn the Mushrooms, and it's a deep dive blog, including a video, a podcast, or written, where you can learn about the 15 different toxin classes that mushrooms produce and what their poisoning looks like and how they're treated. So you can learn as much as you want, or the game, Gotta Pick 'Em, you don't need to know anything about poisonous mushrooms to play, but you can learn quite a lot if you'd like. But it's really just a fun game. My wife and many of my friends who do not know anything about mushrooms have played it with me, and it's just a fun draw and pass card game. I invented it because I wanted, as I mentioned, half of the battle is learning what some mushrooms look like. So I created it as a teaching tool for medical students and pharmacy students to be able to see the mushrooms and see the poisons that are associated with them. I thought that was really important. That's why I have amazing photography in the book from Tavis Lynch, who's actually he's got his own few books out there on mushroom cultivation and mushroom foraging, and he's also the vice president of the Wisconsin Mycological Society. So I teamed up with him to get some beautiful pictures for the book. And in the game, we don't have those pictures built in yet, but all of the mushrooms are anatomically accurate, and they are a good way for people to get familiar with what sorts of things you might be looking at for that specific poisonous mushroom.
So
it's really fun.
And each card has points on it. And there's also information on it, like you had said, where they grow, if they're toxic, what you can use to, you know, counteract the poison. But you draw a card, and then once you draw a card, you put one down, and then you pass your hand to the next person.
Yeah.
Which I love that.
It's kind of like Sushi Go. If you've ever played Sushi Go, you're trying to collect different types of sushi. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the same thing. You get a hand, you choose a poisonous mushroom and put it down, and then you get a new hand and pick a new mushroom, and you get more points by combining mushrooms with the same poisons in them or combining them with antidotes. So there's about 15 different toxin classes, so there's 15 different scoring systems. It can take, if you've never played it before, it takes just a little bit to learn the rules, but they're all on the website, gottapickem.com. And you can get a full game played in under 15 minutes once you know what's going on. It's a very casual game. And each of the poisons, each of the scoring system reflects the poisons. So, for example, amatoxin is a poison that's responsible for the most deaths in the U.S. Amatoxin-containing mushrooms. The classic sign of amatoxin poisoning is nausea and vomiting that develops after 6 hours. That's how I know I'm worried about amatoxin. Mm-hmm. So the poisonous cards in the game that have amatoxin, you don't get points until the next round because it's late presenting. So you get late points. So there's a fun tie back into the toxic class for each one of them.
I was impressed by that, because a lot of times when people make up games, they tend to be rather simple, but you really thought this one out, I've got to tell you.
Well, as I said, the goal was to teach people how to treat mushroom poison. It's actually for medical learners, but it ended up being a fun game that anyone can play. You can find it at gottapickem.com.
Okay.
And, you know, you can learn as much about the mushrooms as you want, or you can learn nothing at all and just play the game by the points, and that's a lot of fun,
too. Yeah, I think it'd be great for kids, because they would then be interested in mushrooms, and that's a whole another field that could open up to them. So I love that.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity.
For sure. Bob emailed us to ask, are common lawn mushrooms, mower's mushrooms, toxic? And if a mushroom is toxic for humans, is it toxic for most animals? He used to worry about his new puppy who put everything in his mouth.
I will say most mushrooms that are toxic for humans are also toxic for animals. Most mushrooms are like gastrointestinal irritants, and you're going to cause problems for both a human and a dog. There's really very few that aren't also poisonous for animals. So I'll just put it that way without getting into a lot of it. The common mower's mushroom is generally a Pinolia species, which might cause gastric, you know, stomach upset, but it's not something I really get worried about. Mm-hmm. But there's some lookalikes that can cause more damage. So who knows what you really got in your hand? Right. I wouldn't recommend eating it.
Okay.
We do get a lot of people who take chomps out of common yard mushrooms, and they do just fine. But it's always a good idea, if you did that, to call a poison center so we can help you figure out what's going on.
Yeah. We had a listener email us, and their wife thinks that mushrooms are not poisonous if they have insects living in them, such as in the gills. Is that true or not? They think not, since they have delivered her to the ER once with severe gastro issues.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we already learned our lesson there. Yeah, that is not a true rule. If there are insects in there, in fact, it may now have bacterial contamination. So one of the sometimes it's a poison in the mushroom that's the problem. Sometimes it is the actual mushroom being degraded or spoiled, and there's bacterial contamination that then causes an infectious gastritis. So even if it's not poisonous, if you're seeing clear signs of decay or animals kind of having their meal on it, I would probably avoid it.
Peggy emailed us, and should you be concerned about consuming prions from the soil when collecting mushrooms where chronic wasting disease is prevalent? Is that in your wheelhouse?
That is a really interesting question. It's mm-hmm. not something I've ever looked into, so I will not opine on it. But there are some cases of mushrooms absorbing metals from the soil. Mm. Those are smaller molecules than a prion, so I'm not sure. And there have been cases of mushrooms being linked with the development of Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS. And that's because the mushroom toxin was poisonous to your genetics, actually, and damaged the nerves. Big outbreak in France in Mont-Chavon, it's called. If anyone wants to look into it, it's the false morel that caused ALS. Very tragic.
Wow, I would say. Yeah. Goodness. Let's go to the phone. Matt in Alouez. Is that, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
I've led mushroom hikes for years, and one of the things that has started to drive me crazy in the last 5 years is just how much focus there is on the eating of mushrooms. One of the things I start my hikes off often is you don't have to eat them to enjoy them. And for example, there are all sorts of different smells that mushrooms have, like cucumbers and curry. There are all sorts of different properties that some mushrooms have. And for example, there's a glowing mushroom that grows in Wisconsin, and it's a little tiny one, and it doesn't seem like much, but I've actually been able to get it to regrow in a bag of maple sawdust. And it's amazing that we can find these things, but if we're just focused on the eating all the time, we're missing out on a whole bunch. It's like going out and saying, I'm going to look at wildflowers, but only the ones I can eat.
Right.
What a great point, Matt. What do you think, Ryan?
I think that's an excellent point to bring up. I have personally never eaten a mushroom I foraged because I think it's just fun to go out and identify and see what's around and appreciate their growth patterns and just the beauty of their structure. And many of the things that you talked about, the smell, it's really, really cool. And Wisconsin Mycological Society organizes a number of forays with really just great experts who can teach you about the different parts of a mushroom and what you can enjoy about them beyond the taste. So I'd highly recommend that if you're interested.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I love that. I love taking pictures of them. I think they're just gorgeous to look at. So, well, Matt, we're running out of time, or Ryan, rather. We're running out of time. I really wish we would have had longer time with you, but I know we'll have you back again for sure. So thanks for being with us and sharing. Where can we get the book, by the way? We didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah. So the book right now, the easiest place for most people is to check Amazon. If you type in my name, Ryan Feldman, that's mm-hmm. honestly the easiest. Or type in poisonous fungus among us, one word, among us. And if you happen to be in the Milwaukee area, it's at the Shorewood Public Library, the Whitefish Bay Library, and some wonderful bookshops like Wonderland Books and Voyager.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to get it out into the greater community very soon.
Well, I think you'll do well because it is a fun read. So thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you so much, Jill.
Dr. Ryan Feldman is a toxicologist with the Wisconsin Poison Center, an emergency medical pharmacist at Frederick Hospital, and an assistant professor of pharmacy and emergency medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He also has the podcast, The Poison Lab. His book is called Poisonous Fungus Among Us, and the card game is called Gotta Pick'em, P-I-C-C-E-M. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for our team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins. I'm the executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm.